Good morning.
You may proceed.
Thank you. May it please the court. My name is Dalton Teigen, and I'm here representing the appellant, Candace D., in this matter. I'll refer to her as Candace throughout this argument. Candace appeals from a decision of Lancaster County Separate Juvenile Court that terminated her parental rights to her two daughters that were both approximately of middle school age, Serenity and Kanjerica. Candace has a history with the juvenile court of two prior cases. Both of those cases revolved primarily around issues of Candace as a victim of domestic violence. She successfully completed both of those cases and was reunited with her daughters. In this case, in September of 2019, Candace went to pick up her girls from school, and she was found to be too intoxicated to be able to safely take them home, and there was no place else for the girls to go. So they were placed in temporary physical and legal custody of the state. The county attorney filed a 3A case, and Candace pled no contest to an amended version of that case, and the children remained in state physical and legal custody. At the disposition hearing, the court ordered that Candace should participate in and successfully complete inpatient alcohol treatment. With inpatient treatment, it takes a while to get in. There's almost always a waiting list, but by March of 2020, she entered the program at St. Monica's in Lincoln. She had a few bumps along the way, a couple of relapses, but she did successfully complete the program, and then she moved on to St. Monica's Project Mother and Child, which is sort of like a halfway house where mothers usually are reunited with their children and live with their children while they're doing outpatient treatment. This, though, was happening at the peak of the COVID-19 pandemic, and so Candace's girls were not reunited with her. She had a couple of bumps there, too, and reunification. Relapses. But she, by fall of 2020, was really doing quite well, according to the testimony of Jordan Hausch, the CPS worker. But then by December of 2020, things had really kind of fallen apart for her. She basically disappeared. Nobody really knew where she was, so the county attorney filed a motion to terminate her parental rights.
And that lasted for about 3 months, wasn't it, where they couldn't find her, there was no contact?
Her last formal visit with her daughters was in December 2020, and nobody saw or heard anything from her again until a week before the scheduled TPR trial. The trial itself was on April 5th, so it was on like March 28th or 29th. So.
Was there any, or is there any real dispute that 292.7 has been met here as the statutory basis that children were out of the home for 15 of the prior 22 months?
They clearly were out of the home for more than 15 months. There's no dispute about
so
that.
So you're left with best interests, and you've also raised a due process. I would like you to visit the due process argument. Please.
The due process argument, I believe, Your Honor, is the key argument here, because the other arguments all go away if we are correct in our due process analysis. Candace attempted to attend that April 5th TPR hearing. She made it to the courthouse, and she was apprehended by the Lancaster County Sheriff's on an outstanding warrant and taken into custody. As soon as counsel found out about it, there was an oral motion to continue so that she could be present in person. The judge overruled that and went on with the trial.
Was counsel aware that that might occur before the trial started?
Counsel wasn't, but the judge had been informed that morning by the Lancaster County deputies that if Candace tried to appear, there was a warrant there. And the judge did inform us about that.
We don't have anything in the record as it relates to why there was an outstanding warrant, anything as why she was arrested on her way for this termination trial, right?
It's not in the record, and I'm not even sure. I know that she was only incarcerated for a very short period of time, but I'm not sure of the exact nature of the warrant. I think it was for a failure to appear in a criminal case.
And while we're talking about that, we don't have much in the record at all after October when she was doing well until this trial. You know, you talk about she disappeared. We don't even have anything in here where she was, who she reported to, whether she was reporting to probation, anything, any evidence in that regard.
That's true. We don't. And that's why fundamental due process demands that she be allowed to be there when she actually showed up for the trial. She was only three floors away, and she was the only person that could shed any light on any of those things. She's the only one that could give us any sort of mitigating information. Counsel had no idea what had happened. Now, the cases do say that having counsel is an important factor. However, counsel can only attack the state's case and provide cross-examination. Counsel can't give the appellant's side of the story. Only the appellant can do that.
There was something, there had been one prior continuance granted. Is that correct on her behalf?
That's what I think, along with the fact that she was actually, there had been a continuance granted in her regard, yes.
And what had been scheduled? What was continued?
It was also a TPR adjudication hearing, but it was continued due to lack of service because nobody knew where she was, and eventually there had to be service by publication.
And was Judge White the only judge on this case from beginning to end?
That's correct. She was.
All right.
Yes. But I think it's very important to note that immediately before Candace's motion to continue so that she could be there in person, the county attorney had just moved to continue the case as to the girl's father. And that continuance had been granted for 2 months. There wasn't going to be a trial until June for Jerry A., the father. So there's no way that anybody can say that it in any way impacted the need for permanency of these girls, because permanency can't be achieved until both parents are resolved.
Was that matter assigned to a different judge or the same?
Same judge. Same judge, same county attorney. As far as I know, I wasn't there for that trial, but as far as I know, it was the exact same witness. The only witness in our case was Jordan Hausch, the CPS worker. There was no impact upon the girl's permanency interest. There would not have been had a continuance been granted.
Hausch was the only person to testify for
Correct.
The state here. Is
Correct.
That right? And then Hausch was also on maternity leave from November until March during this period of time where we don't know what happened.
That's
we
right.
We don't have a record. Is that right?
That's right. There was another CPS worker who relayed to Hausch and to everybody involved that she was making continuous efforts to try to contact Candace, but she had been unsuccessful in doing that. Now, Hausch did testify that Candace contacted her a week before the trial and said that she had actually been assaulted at least two, maybe three times, and she was afraid to talk to Ms. Hausch or to her counsel because both of them had told her at her last hearing that she appeared at that she really needed to get her act together and that if she did any big mistakes, things were not going to look good for her. So she basically gave up and went into hiding because of those factors.
And that was evidence that was before the court, correct?
Jordan Hausch did testify that that she had talked about those assaults, and that's why she had not contacted anybody during the 3 months. Yes.
And she had manifested symptoms of having been abused, it sounded like. She could
yes.
Firsthand knowledge of the cuts on her face or something like that.
Ms. Hausch testified that there were physical manifestations of her having been hit and abused, yes.
What was the status of Candace at the time in December of 2020, right before the last contact? Was she doing well? Was she not?
She had been doing well at least through September or October. Well, through October. She I think, was not doing quite as well, but she was still maintaining services and doing all right yet at that point. I see that my time is up.
I want to ask you one quick follow-up, or not a follow-up, but there was a guardian ad litem appointed here, is that correct?
That's correct.
And did she weigh in on what her position was on this at the hearing?
On the continuance?
No, the best interest.
She weighed in and said that she believed that it was in the girl's best interest to terminate parental rights. Yes.
Thank you. All right. Thank you very much.
So we would ask that you reverse and remand this matter. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good morning, Ms. Lansky.
Good morning. May it please the court. I'm Maureen Lansky, representing the appellee, the state of Nebraska in this case. And I would ask that you affirm the trial court. Judge White didn't have this case from the adjudication on. She took over at some point after she was appointed judge, and Judge Porter did retire. I believe that was around somewhere in March of 2020. This case, as far as what's required for due process, one of the things is notice, and parents in juvenile court, they're frequently ordered to keep everybody apprised of their whereabouts. That clearly wasn't followed. There was no contact with her attorney based on what she told Ms. Hausch, and there was clearly no address for the court to try and serve her. The state spent multiple times trying to serve her, and ultimately there was the affidavit that was submitted into evidence for publication, and publication under the circumstances satisfies the due process requirement of notice. And then Ms. Hausch did, or I'm sorry, then the appellant had an attorney represent her at court.
This is kind of an unusual circumstance for why somebody doesn't show. I mean, it's not that they just didn't show. The court was aware that something was going on. Why not just grant a continuance for a couple weeks to figure out what's going on?
It is a very different situation, because all the case law, it's inmates asking to be present and whether or not they can be present. And in this case, I think the difference is it kind of gets difficult, because there's no way for the judge to know how long she's going to be incarcerated, so how long to set that for, and whether or not that would actually guarantee her presence. And then I don't know if she was also looking at keeping up with the progression standards, but other than that, I don't know why. I mean, for prejudice to the state, there's always the risk that the witness won't be available, caseworkers leave the department, and sometimes are harder to locate. But that would be the only potential for prejudice for the state with that one witness. Typically, when we do motions for publication, there's usually not the expectation that the parent will ever show up. In this case, I think the testimony was the appellant had started to do less well prior to Ms. Hausch going on maternity leave, and that things had started to slip then. And clearly, if nobody can get a hold of her, there's no visits, she was really not participating in her case at all for more than 3 months. In looking at the totality, this is a woman that completed two short-term residential programs in 2020, and still was unable to maintain her sobriety, maintain visits.
Well, we don't know that for sure in this record, do we? I mean, we know as of October that she had graduated successfully. She had some recommendations. And then we have this hole in the record from October until April where the state calls the single witness, Hausch, who's on maternity leave herself for 4 or 5 of those months, to fill in that hole. And then the only person that could possibly fill in the hole with regard to where she was the person whose rights are being terminated, who doesn't get a chance to testify.
Well,
isn't that a problem?
Well, Ms. House did testify that the appellant seemed to be intoxicated when she met with her a week before the trial. Ms. House was still there for part of that time, and there was evidence in the affidavit that wasn't controverted that there was nobody could have gotten in touch with her. So even if that other witness was there, there would still be no more evidence about her sobriety. There was no way to do that for the state as far as what she was doing during that time period, because she was not following the case plan. She was not following the court orders. And obviously, based on her own testimony, her own statements to Ms. House, she wasn't doing well.
So there's a different due process issue here, though. I mean, mm-hmm. The rules of evidence don't apply here, but the rules of due process do. Everything you're saying, you tried to get in through House, who doesn't have any direct knowledge of any of that. Do you see that as a problem in a case like this?
Well, some of it is coming from House, because House was the caseworker for part of that time. And there's also going to be records, and we had court hearings, and there's the evidence that the service is coming back, that she's not being served, and she's not showing up for court. So it's not just no corroboration that there's, you know, that she's not doing what she's supposed to.
What about her service providers, those different people, probation, foster parents, the police that supposedly were involved in the investigation with regard to the abuse, the place that she was staying? None of those people were called to fill in the gap with regard to what happened to her during that period of time.
I don't know that they had any evidence to offer. If nobody's having contact with her, nobody knows what she's doing. So, I mean, I guess that would be my response. There is no, I'm not even sure if she was still on probation at that point or doing anything with them. I don't think she was engaged with any service providers.
So do we know why she was arrested?
Those were, it was on, as Mr. Tijan said, it was for a failure to appear for criminal cases on child abuse.
Did the state oppose the motion to continue?
I don't believe the state took any position. So with that, and just looking at the totality of the evidence and the chance for success on the merits, given that the children were out of home for so long and she had not had any contact with her children, there were no visits, so there were no visitation workers to call. There was
when did
really
visits stop?
I'm sorry?
When did visits stop?
The end of December of 2020.
And again, that's because they couldn't locate her and didn't know where she was.
Yes, and so there's really nothing else to say on that. If we can't find her, she can't do any of the other services that she's court-ordered to do. I mean, parents, when they start the 3A cases, they're told of all the things that can happen. You know, one of them, what happens after 15 months. Parents ought to be able to figure out 15 months from when their child was, or their children in this case, were removed, and be in contact with the people, you know, with the state, their attorney, all of that. And that just didn't happen in this case. And the judge would have had no way of knowing, you know, if she would even show up at the next court hearing, given her record, and that we don't know how long she was going to be incarcerated at that time, because there's no way to know.
Right. The direct issue here was her alcohol issue, right?
Yes.
And, mm-hmm. and the safety issue with relation to her children as it relates to alcohol.
Yes.
And as of October, the last record, the last exhibit we have, she was doing well with respect to that, right?
As far as the exhibits, as far as the testimony, she was doing poorly, and there was evidence like she would show up intoxicated to visits. Clearly, she was,
well, that was
intoxicated a week before the trial, based on the evidence presented at trial.
Intoxicated? Whose evidence was that?
Well, Ms. House talked to her, and my recollection was that she testified that she appeared to be under the influence of alcohol when she met with her the week before the trial. And so, I mean, if an alcoholic who's received two times of short-term residential and is still drinking the day before the trial or the week before the trial, there really isn't. It's hard to say she improved.
Yeah, I remember her testifying that the police may have believed that in connection with her assault. I didn't know that she had testified directly that she thought that she was, that she smelled alcohol.
Okay, and maybe I'm misremembering her testimony, but I thought that she had said something about her appearing to be under the influence and how she got upset and emotional during that conversation. But I guess I haven't looked at that within the last couple months, so maybe I'm not remembering that. But I guess that's what I relied on, that she's still not doing well at that point, and that her children deserve permanency. And for those reasons, I would ask that the court affirm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you have anything else? Great. Do you have anything else?
Okay. No. Thank you both. Thank you. I know we're out of time for rebuttal. Staying here, we'll take the matter under advisement. Thank you.